Hello and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. With me, Robin, today, our Martin.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Good to have you back. You went in for repairs.
But, happy to be back, yeah.
You know, you're feeling good?
Yeah, well-oiled, functional.
Good.
It's all going well.
Mechanics are all working. Good, very good.
And how are you, Alex?
Hello there, Robin. I'm good, thanks. Yeah, you sound great. Your voice sounds a lot better now. We don't have to send him back, do we?
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. Not anytime soon, anyway.
It's a lifetime warranty, though, right?
We'd hope so.
Yeah, exactly.
And today, as always, we'll be discussing an older story as well as a newer story, something very current, I believe most people have been talking about this week, and a quiz at the end of the episode. Martin, you've got a quiz, is that right?
Yeah, I've got a quiz.
Yeah.
People enjoyed last week's quiz very much.
They did, it was really good. That was
and,
really clever.
Yeah. So in the upcoming weeks, I might do something similar. But today is a more traditional quiz.
Okay, nice. Okay. Yeah. It's nice to have them to, you know, break up.
Exactly.
Break it up with. You keep it in.
Yeah.
Keep it interesting.
Hopefully, yeah.
And Alex, you'll be doing the news for today.
Yeah, and really there's only one thing that we could talk about this week. Let's be honest. We've got to talk about Jeffrey Epstein. And how he, this whole scandal that's gone on. Horrible stuff.
All right.
Indeed.
But to begin with, I would like to tell you the story about Teddy Tucker.
Okay. It's not a euphemism, is it?
It's not not yet, anyway. So, you haven't heard of Teddy Tucker?
No.
Can't say I have.
Oh. Well, Edward Bolton Tucker, known to his friends and to the world, in fact, as Teddy Tucker, was born on May the 8th, 1925, in Bermuda. He was the son of an architect, and he began exploring the oceans in the late 1940s. He joined the Navy during the Second World War and served as an underwater demolitions expert.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool. But if it weren't for this experience, perhaps he would have become a marine biologist or a marine historian at university, you know, professorship or something. But instead, when the war was over, the government of Bermuda hired him to help recover scrap metal from all the shipwrecks from around Bermuda. It's actually quite remarkable.
Yes.
If you look at a map of shipwrecks just from the Second World War around Bermuda, there's dozens of them. It's incredible. And pretty well defended, I guess.
Or it could be something else around Bermuda.
Perhaps, yes.
Could be.
Yes.
Well, in that five-year period after the war, when he was collecting scrap metal, Teddy Tucker brought in more foreign exchange money for the government of Bermuda and all international business and tourism combined.
Wow.
So he was a very successful scavenger, I guess.
Sounds it, yeah.
And this may be what inspired him to become a professional treasure hunter.
Nice. Okay.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice. That's the dream job, isn't it? That's amazing.
Nice. Living in Bermuda, just diving all the time, getting treasure.
Imagine putting that on your LinkedIn.
Yeah. Although Nathan Drake doesn't find much, does he? He does, but then it always turns out bad.
The real treasure is the friends he made along the way. Well, over the course of Teddy Tucker's career, Tucker discovered over 100 historic shipwrecks in Bermudian waters alone. And among those shipwrecks, he found treasures. Sometimes it was gold bars, other times it was silver coins. It might be swivel guns or ancient hand grenades, timing glasses, brass and bronze items, pottery and pewterware, as well as Carib Indian weapons from before the conquest.
Pewterware.
Pewterware. Nice. It's a good word, isn't it?
Mm.
And he managed to make a living as a treasure hunter. In 1965, he claimed to have made $500,000 from the treasures he'd found.
In 1965?
In 1965.
Money.
Today, that's about $4 million.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
So he had a pretty comfortable life. And he continued treasure hunting for decades. He died in 2014 at the age of 89. Of course, that's not to mention all the fees that he earned from appearing in international films and magazines and serving as a consultant worldwide. But he only became famous, despite his success professionally, because of one particular discovery that he made, one of the most valuable pieces of sunken treasure ever found. In 1955, Tucker teamed up with Mendel Peterson, the curator of the Smithsonian Institution, to find the wreck of a ship called the San Pedro, which was a Spanish galleon that sank in 1594. They found it in a coral reef known as the Isle of Devils. Tucker started diving, but the weather kept getting worse. Hurricane season was approaching and time was running out. 1 week into his underwater excavation on the 7th of September 1955, Tucker dived to the wreck and found a cross made of solid gold lying face down in the sand.
Ooh.
When he lifted it and turned it over, he saw it had 7 large emeralds embedded in it, each one as big as a musket ball. Wow, so imagine a large marble.
As a treasure hunter, that's what you want to find.
That is
proper treasure, isn't it?
That's
real treasure.
I mean, I think Indiana Jones literally holds something like that.
He does, doesn't he? On the ship, and it slides across, doesn't it?
Yeah, like was it the Cross of Coronado or something?
Belongs in a museum. Yeah. yes.
I mean, that's kind of how this story goes in a way. Tucker described it when he lifted it up underwater and the sunlight hit the emeralds. He said they glowed as if there were lights inside. Again, very Indiana Jones-ish. Upon further examination, once he brought it up to the surface, Tucker and Mendel Peterson found it was 22 carat gold and estimated it was worth around $250,000.
Wow.
On its own.
Nice.
The British Museum valued it at just $200,000.
Oh, stingy.
Stingy, yeah. But despite how valuable this object was, in 1959, Tucker sold it to the government of Bermuda with some other artifacts from the shipwreck for just $100,000.
Wanted it to go to them.
Because he wanted it to remain on the island of Bermuda forever, in his own words.
And what year was that?
1959.
Oh, okay. He's still getting a fair amount.
He's still earning quite a lot. So the cross was put on display in a glass cabinet in the Bermuda Aquarium Museum and Zoo and became a massive tourist attraction. So much so that it was moved to the government's new maritime museum to be the centre of a major new exhibition that Queen Elizabeth II was to open on an official visit in 1975. The cross was kept in a glass case protected by locks, alarms and electronic eyes. So it was like an imaginary laser field.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Incidentally, the aquarium and the maritime museum where the cross was moved to were both run by Tucker and his wife.
Oh.
So
okay.
Isn't it nice to sell treasures to yourself?
Yeah.
So 1975.
This is expense.
Yeah. Queen Elizabeth II is making a 3-day official visit to Bermuda in 1975, partly with the express purpose of on the first day opening this exhibition. But literally minutes before she arrived to see the cross, Tucker noticed there was something odd about it.
But the cross?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
He noticed that it was a fake.
What?
No.
Someone had stolen the real Tucker cross from the museum and swapped it with a plaster or plastic, not entirely clear which, replica. And nobody had noticed.
Plastic and no one noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. No culprit was ever caught. They're not even sure when the theft took place. And it's one of the biggest unsolved heists in history.
Wow.
I
just had an image of the Burger King crown. You know, you can get those little crowns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just like a paper cardboard cross.
Something doesn't look right. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Never to be found again.
Never to
what
be found
again. What did the Queen do? Were they just like, oh, yeah, this is it. No one tell her. Let's carry on.
Well, the visit went ahead, but and the opening went ahead, but they had to tell her that the cross was...
He noticed it was...
Do you reckon they were like, it's not here now, but it will. We're just polishing it.
Yeah. The police actually couldn't start investigating the discovery of the fake cross until after she'd gone home. Bermuda.
Because they were so strict as to...
Yeah. So they had a 3-day delay where they had to just wait till she cleared off.
Oh, that sounds like someone who knew that was going to happen, right? An insider.
Possibly.
Well, yeah, I hate to bring this up, but is there any evidence that this cross actually existed to begin with? What if it was all a fake from the beginning, from the very get-go, and it was just a ruse to have the Queen open his museum?
Well, that's an interesting point. The only thing is that the British Museum did value it separately, as well as Mendel Peterson from the Smithsonian.
Mm.
And you'd feel like the British Museum and the Smithsonian and Teddy Tucker would have to be in on this, right? And that's quite a big fraud.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
But then... He sold it for less than half its value.
Good point.
And then he sold it again and replaced it with a replica and was like, oh my God, someone's stolen this.
Well, there are a few clues. Not many. So the only lead they have is the rough idea that the thief must have been a professional international art thief because the forgery, the replica they made, was so good.
Mm.
It fooled everybody for potentially years.
He just realized just before it went on display.
Yeah. So sometime, they think sometime between 1970 and 1975 it was stolen, which means, yeah, it could have been the day before.
5-year window.
Yeah. Or it could have been 5 years before.
That's also another very cool job title, isn't it? Nearly as cool as Explorer. International art thief.
Would you put that on a CV?
Maybe not. Yeah. Surely there must be a finite amount of people that can replicate that in terms of be art thieves.
Yeah, you'd think so. With them, again, must have been a team, right? It's like a classic heist movie where you get the guy who makes the fake and then the person who actually does the stealing and the swapping. But just in case you had any doubt about the competency of the police, it wasn't just the Bermuda police, but the FBI, Scotland Yard, and Interpol investigated, and they all found nothing. They suspect what probably happened was the cross was stolen, the emeralds were removed, and the gold was melted down and all sold separately.
They should have had what they have on crisp multi-pack crisp bags, not to be sold separately. Stamped across it.
That would have sorted it. Yeah.
What do you think about an inside job here? Do heists like that really happen, really work? Like dodging the lasers? Surely it gives away some information.
I guess this was quite well known, I guess. This was probably broadcast quite a lot. Like the Queen's going to open this museum. Yeah. This adventurer explorer has found this super rich cross. So I imagine that this was a hot item to steal back in the day. I imagine this was quite a famous artifact at the time.
It was very famous, yeah.
So I could imagine a thief, you know, wanting
got
to...
Got their eye on it, yeah.
Had their eye on it, yeah. Yeah. But also the inside job thing. I mean, how would that take place? Because I could see it being like an insurance fraud thing. But then, like you said, Robin, the British Museum had it like looked it over and had it valued. And
well, the insurance fraud, it definitely comes up with the fact that he sold it, so he gets the money from that.
Yeah,
and therefore it's not his possession. But and then it gets lost.
It's not his possession, but it's still in the museums that he runs.
Yeah,
so it's kind of
could he then double up on his takings?
Yeah,
sold it. It's like presumably got the cash.
It's an interesting question. Yeah, presumably the museum would have the insurance, right? Not the owner, which would be the government. The government owns the cross, but the museum presumably would have the insurance. Maybe not. It's a very good question. Because if the museum has insurance, then Tucker's making the claim.
But I mean, he's made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he's...
So it's not worth the risk, is it?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's worth the risk. But also, I don't know, a person like Teddy Tucker, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
Teddy.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'd be in it for that kind of thing. You know, he's in it for the adventure.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm just reading into this too much.
No, that's what he's always claimed. He loves the experience of treasure hunting.
I don't know if he'd be like that. He'd do that.
When he was big into his marine biology as well. He founded an institute for studying rare marine biology and for deep sea diving and as well as like general history of shipwrecks as well as treasure hunting.
Man, he sounds cool. Why can't I be that cool? Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool, actually.
He had a pretty good life from the sound of things.
Yeah.
But just so, in case you're interested, Noah Charney, who's an art historian, an American, says that only about 1.5% of cases of art theft result in the art being recovered and the criminal being prosecuted.
Really?
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's really bad.
It result in both happening.
Either or, basically.
Either or. Yeah. Wow, it's even
basically, 1.5% of art theft cases are solved, is what he said.
Wow.
Yeah.
They've got a professional team of art thieves out there.
Should we become art
thieves? They know what they're
doing. Yeah. I'm thinking of a career change now. Yeah, now we're talking about it.
Well, no, because if we become art thieves, then that ratio goes up drastically.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
10%.
We're now solving a lot more.
Oh, but then they catch us on the first one, so actually the... doesn't change that much.
We try and steal 100 pieces of art in the first week and they solve them all.
Next week, stories from the bunker, there's just pieces littered behind us, like the cross on the tables.
That's how they catch us.
But no, it is like in my head, this plays out exactly like Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 8, the more recent one, where like I can see the crowds of tourists, hundreds of thousands of them every year flocking through the museum, looking at this cross. And there's that one guy looking like George Clooney with the sunglasses on at the back of the crowd, just like
scoping out,
surveying the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like, ah, oh, such a cool idea.
It is cool.
It's sad though, obviously. It's a great piece of history that's been lost because we don't know for sure, but it could have been made by South American Indians, you know, conquered by the Spanish and the Portuguese. And compelled to make a cross with their American gold, because the art style of it suggests it wasn't European. But obviously it's a cross, so it has to be Christian influence.
Sure.
So that's a great piece of potentially cultural history that's been lost.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, he
they stole it back.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems like a great adventurer explorer, but he was based in Bermuda.
Yeah.
And he never found the lost city of Atlantis under the Bermuda Triangle.
This is true.
What's that about?
Yeah. Over 100 ships, though.
Yeah. Over 100 shipwrecks he found.
100 shipwrecks. Yeah. And then people say there isn't a statistical correlation between Bermuda itself and 100. Yeah, don't think so, mate. Seems like a good time to be a shipwrecker, treasure hunter, shipwreck hunter.
Again,
yeah. I don't know what I'm saying. One of the two.
Obviously, he's not a baby boomer, but he's still part of that post-war generation. And it's like, you look at this now, and you're just like, oh, that's such a cool thing. And you realize, yeah, they've done it all.
Treasure hunters now, there's nothing to find anymore. There's no career as a treasure hunter.
What was the scuba equipment like? Was it? I imagine it was quite old-fashioned. Was it
been like massive oxygen tanks on the
thing?
That full-on diving suit with the fishbowl helmet.
What was it? We were born too late to explore the world, and born too early to explore the universe. Or something.
Wow.
We're just kind of in that awkward moment where we can't.
Depressingly accurate statement.
There's no new frontier for us at the moment.
It's true. No wonder we retreated into the internet.
Well, we might see the end of the world, which is something.
Well, that's true. That's true.
The end is just a new beginning. Yeah.
And I guess the digital world has, which is probably the biggest revolution in hundreds and hundreds of years.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, that's true. Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, we're at the cutting edge of a technology.
So every time an old fart says, "You guys need to get out more, stop living on the internet," I'm always like, "Well, and find what?
Find
skin cancer. Thank you very much. I'll stay in the shade." No. But yeah,
it's your generation's fuck the ozone layer.
And you stole all the treasure.
All the treasure's been found. There's nothing to invent.
I think we should go treasure hunting. I think that's what this is all leading to.
Send
us treasure hunting if you go over to our Patreon. Can we replace?
That's not even a thing. That's not even one of the tiers, is it? We'll add it.
Replace the skydiving with treasure hunting. I'd much prefer that, please.
Nah, mate, you're going skydiving in about 20 years' time. I guess that stage.
What are your thoughts on Tucker's Cross? Do you think it was an inside job? Do you think it was an international art thief? And do you think we'll ever find it? Please let us know in the poll above and comments below, or by emailing us or contacting us on Twitter.
Yes.
We're still at AT Conspiracies, I believe, on Twitter, but we are uncovered.
So to speak. Thank you, Robin.
So to speak. Awkward pause.
Cool.
And speaking of your comments, have we got any favorite YouTube comments or other comments from other platforms we want to discuss this week?
Do you have any, Martin?
Yeah.
Well, I've got one comment from Emma Faz that says, "I love Martin's hoodie. It's the same hoodie I'm wearing today, and it's a prototype conspiracy all-time conspiracies. Well, it was all conspiracies, now uncovered hoodie, which has a man being drawn up into an alien spacecraft."
It's a really cool one, yeah.
So I think that this one may well be shortly appearing on our merch store. Let you guys know about it. So you'll be able to get it too.
It's a nice design. And we've got some other designs that might go up at some point.
Absolutely.
Which really, really excited about.
Indeed. And of course, there's existing designs on the merch store too, which you can find in the link in the description. Sweet. What about you, Alex? Anything else?
So I've got this comment from Mickey Moneybags, who's commented on the... You bloody love a good username, don't you?
I do.
He commented this on our last podcast, who Sam from 101 Facts sat in on. We were fortunate enough to have...
Sadly sat in on the last one, unfortunately.
I mean, because sadly you were away, so Sam was great. Okay. We were fortunate enough to have him on the podcast.
And
anyway,
Chris in the week before, it was great,
Anyway, so Mickey Moneybags said this was regarding Bob Lazar and the documentary that went out.
Yeah.
I think that Bob's probably telling the truth. The documentary was pretty compelling, but I'd have to agree. The producer of the doc really wanted to agree in my mind. Thought about watching the body language Lazar thing the other day. You guys are a good think tank. Cheers.
Think tank.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's
very kind. You kind of missed last week, Robin, so I was wondering what you thought about Bob Lazar in general. And
Bob Lazar.
The whole Bob Lazar. Put you on the spot there.
No, that's fine.
Great guy.
Yeah, great guy. Lovely chap. We've kind of mentioned this before in a previous podcast. I can't remember when. Some time back. But I think it's one of those classic cases of if he was lying, I think by now he seems to believe his own lie. So it's really hard to tell if he's lying. And like, as you said before, and you may have discussed this last week, he goes into such detail, it's kind of hard to disbelieve him.
Yeah, I think that's... So what he was talking about, this body language, I talked about, there's this body language expert on YouTube who kind of analyzed one of the interviews that he was in, and he gave no notable tells that he was lying.
Oh, that's interesting.
So we kind of said that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I kind of think that he's definitely not lying, but he might have just kind of bought into
his pretty much got this, the same conclusion. He's telling the truth. Or he's kind of made false memories from the fact that he's repeated the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
Or he's just become so, so good at it.
Yeah.
A middle ground might be that he is telling the truth about what he thinks he saw.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or a lot of it is true, but some of the details aren't.
That
could be right. It could have worked there, but maybe it wasn't to do with alien craft. It was to do with military secrets. But then again, why wouldn't he just bring up the fact that he was working on military secrets? That's also really cool. So
yeah, exactly. You wouldn't need to improve that story a huge amount, exactly. Would you?
But if Bernie Sanders becomes president, we will know the truth.
Yes. Then they probably just won't tell him, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Hillary Clinton said the same thing.
I think she did. Mm. It seemed to come out of nowhere, but she did, yeah.
But then she didn't become president, so sadly we'll never know.
Maybe that's why Trump won.
Maybe.
He made no such promise.
very true. Yeah.
Well, I've got a comment from our last video essay, which was about the psychological power of Pokemon.
Ooh, that was a really interesting
Everyone's
one.
Favorite property, Poke property. And it's Jeremy Fortini says, I know this is way off topic, but are you going to do a video on Jeffrey Epstein in the next couple of weeks? This case seems really huge. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the government was researching possible ways to incapacitate people.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah. Well, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, really, we do have to talk about that, don't we?
We do. And that's a great segue. So,
thank you.
Well done, Robin. Jeremy. Are there any more comments, or should we go straight into it?
I haven't got any more, so let's talk about Epstein. It's a big one. He told all the girls.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, dear.
Start again.
I'd reckon. So, as you both know, Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in his cell this week on...
Sorry,
I really hope you've both heard of this.
Yeah, we have.
This is pretty big. And on August 10th,
that's what he told all the girls.
I knew as soon as I said that, I was like, no, why have I done that? So as I'm sure you're both aware, this week Jeffrey Epstein was found dead in his cell in the Manhattan Correctional Center in the morning of August 10th, Saturday. Which is mad for so many reasons that this has been allowed to happen. And just looking online and the reaction after it has kind of been people... The general impression, as people have said, is... Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but... and I totally kind of agree with that sentiment. This is... It's almost like they're being arrogant in how in your face this is.
Yeah.
It's mad. It's insane.
Michael Moore, who summed up, didn't he, quite well when he said, oh, people were stupid enough to vote for Donald Trump, but do you think they're stupid enough to believe that Jeremy Epstein committed suicide? People may be a bit stupid, but they're not that stupid. Come on.
Right.
Like, how can it be this obvious? I think that Epstein clearly had a lot of info on a lot of very, very high up people. Mm. Probably not even Trump, you know.
Mm.
Like, they were buddies for a bit, weren't they?
Yeah.
Maybe Trump. But the fact that he was so well connected with so many really high up and powerful, powerful people.
Yeah.
That at least one of those people would have wanted to bump him off. Maybe a collective.
So I do like a whole timeline for people who aren't
familiar. That'd be great. I think that'd be great.
Epstein anyway. So Epstein's career started out, he was actually a teacher to begin with, and he was given his first job despite never getting a degree. And I think he had a degree. He was studying for a degree in physics, I want to say, physics and calculus. But he dropped out of uni, and he was given a job as a teacher This is pretty ridiculous. By the Attorney General Bill Barr's father, Donald Barr, who was the headmaster of a school at the Dalton School in NYC. And he gave Epstein his first job as a teacher, despite him having no qualifications to be a teacher.
Whoa.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Could just be a coincidence. And then, so that was how he got started. And then he moved into the finance, I think, a couple of years after that.
Right.
And then the allegations against Epstein date back to 2005, when a 14-year-old girl and her parents claimed that Epstein molested her at a mansion in Palm Beach. So investigators apparently spoke with 5 alleged victims in 2005, and there were 17 different witnesses. So chances are he kind of did this. I think it's very unlikely that he was innocent of all charges.
Yeah. he admitted that he did this too, didn't he?
He was already a registered sex offender.
Yeah. Yeah, and he got 13 months in jail.
Yeah, in a comfy county jail.
Yeah.
Thanks to a deal signed by then U.S. Attorney for Miami, Alexander Acosta, who is now involved in the Trump administration. He's now President Trump's Secretary of Labor. And it basically was a deal that he signed that concealed his crimes and the number of people also involved, the co-conspirators. Which is, pretty shady.
Yeah.
Epstein's deal, called a non-prosecution agreement, granted immunity to any potential co-conspirators.
Was that even a thing?
How was that legal?
Yeah. Not when it's this serious.
So if any of Epstein's powerful friends were involved in his crimes, they would face no consequences. And this deal was kept secret from his alleged victims as well.
Yeah.
Meaning that they couldn't challenge the deal in court.
I didn't even know that was a thing you could do.
I don't think it really is.
No, that sounds definitely like one law for the rich and one law for everybody else. That is madness.
Mm.
You are guilty, and we will make a plea bargain with you if you don't name anyone else.
What? I mean, I don't think a lot of this was legal, because in December 2018, Epstein reached a new settlement in a new lawsuit set for trial in Florida, which would have seen several of his alleged victims testify for the first time. However, just 1 month later, a federal judge ruled that prosecutors under Acosta violated the Crime Victims Rights Act by not letting more than 30 identified victims know of the deal so that they would have a chance to oppose it. So this deal that Acosta drew up that made it so the victims weren't told.
Yeah,
that was not legal.
Acosta claimed that when he asked about the plea deal, he was told Epstein belonged to intelligence.
Wow.
Yeah. And so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's.
So do you think he did belong to intelligence?
Well, maybe he did.
Yeah. Because a billionaire international figure connected to everybody. Even for domestic spying, I guess the FBI might be interested.
Yeah. It's also, there's this whole kind of question mark around Epstein, isn't there? About how he really rose to prominence. What did he really do?
He
was just a financier, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Who had loads of money and no real questions.
I mean, you all know you can make a lot of money doing that.
Yeah.
If you have the right connections.
How did he get all those connections, like such high up connections? Mm. Like, you know, I'm talking like hanging out with presidents. How does one get to that level?
I guess as a businessman and setting up his own business, he was connected with the likes of Trump and others when he was very much a financier. And then, of course, Trump also had these connections. You almost get within that inner circle, don't you?
Yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah. Money begets money, and money makes you important to everybody. People think you have money. They want to be your friend.
Mm.
So if you can make donations to all the right campaigns and all the right projects, even if those things don't go through, as we know from Trump, you know, you can fail with a project that's got billions invested in it and still make money out of it.
Yeah. Because he's donated to both the Democrats and Republicans, I think.
Which one, Trump or Epstein?
Epstein.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably Trump.
Both
actually.
Have, yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it? People, like lobbyists and everything in America, kind of play both sides, don't they? They just play whoever's going to give them what they want.
Yep. Yeah.
And then, so that kind of brings us up to last month, when he was arrested at a New Jersey airport on July 6th. So that was when he was taken into custody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. So prosecutors revealed that FBI investigators discovered nude images of girls in a weekend raid of Epstein's Manhattan Upper East Side townhouse. So yeah, I mean, it was obvious that he was guilty of some like deeply serious offenses.
Yeah.
He pleaded not guilty to federal sex trafficking charges. And yeah, he's been in prison, not on bail, since
they denied Saturday. It, didn't they?
Yeah.
Didn't he offer, they said that his limit for bail, he said we'd pay $600 million to be bailed at that point, to have a bond.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is pretty.
That must be the biggest in history, right?
Crazy.
You'd think. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's huge.
But yeah, so that was denied, wasn't it?
Mm.
And then he was basically put in prison with this guy who was a former policeman who had murdered four people in a cocaine conspiracy. So he was in jail with him for a bit. And he said he got roughed up by this guy a little bit. This guy's massive. You see a picture of him. Absolutely massive bloke. He got roughed up a little bit, whatever that means. And then he was put on suicide watch, wasn't he?
Yeah.
After the first attempt supposedly to kill himself. I remember reading at the time it coming through on breaking news of him found with bruises around his neck.
He was found unconscious with bruises around his neck, wasn't he? Which
was
suggests,
that the 29th of July, was that, I think?
July the 23rd.
23rd, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, he attempted suicide apparently several weeks before this, and he was on suicide watch for 6 days.
Mm. Yeah.
Just 6 days.
Yeah.
He was on suicide
watch.
Everyone's
fine after that, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Suicide watch for 6 days. Then he was taken off it and put into a cell, supposedly with another cellmate.
Mm.
But then the cellmate was removed from the cell. And that's against protocol too.
It's against protocol because that's a deterrent for suicide.
Yeah,
because
100%.
Because if he's trying to commit suicide, the thought is that they're going to scream and get attention. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like that was the case, and that they're meant to go
check
in
every
15 minutes to half an hour, I think was like the maximum time.
Yeah.
And they hadn't. And then they found him in the morning dead. Do you think that this could have been, they could have been paid to not check on him?
I think there's that saying, never attribute to malice what could be attributed to incompetence.
Right.
So yeah. I think it's entirely possible that they were overworked and just kind of fell asleep. But also, this is the number one probably the most high-profile prisoner in the world at the moment.
Yeah. He's just tried to commit suicide,
and you've let him die.
Yeah.
Like, I know that they're understaffed, but it's, you know, this is quite an important guy to have as a prisoner. How did they allow this to happen? People were saying, I've been watching the news, and there were some like prison wardens who were saying like at least keep him on suicide watch until his trial was coming up.
Yeah.
And then after he was tried, then they could take him off or do something like that. That's like what they would have done.
Mm.
Kept him on suicide watch until he was tried, had to face his accusers in court, and then
I think for me the problem with this case is that there's this, like so many things with Trump, there's a layer of scandal which is kind of hiding the real tragedy, which is that he's got away with it, you know. He's not been proven definitively guilty. He's 66 years old. He could have spent the rest of his life in prison. Hopefully he would have done. Or somebody has robbed his victims of a sense of justice.
I mean, he's got away with it, but who else has got away with it? That's the real thing,
right? That's the other thing as well, We know for a fact that other people must have been involved.
Yeah.
Because he's always been suspected of sex trafficking. And to sex traffic, there have to be clients. You have to be passing on victims from one person to another. So, and we know his history shows that he's connected to the rich and the famous. Some rich and famous people have said very strange things about Epstein and their relationships with him. So, you know, a greater injustice possibly has been done by the fact that there are other people, as you say, who will get away with this.
What I find really interesting with all this is that seemingly everyone's kind of come out and said, oh, this is terrible. We need to get to the bottom of this. Yeah. Republicans, Democrats, the Attorney General, even Trump himself has retweeted a conspiracy about Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Someone who
is very close with him. I think there's always that story bandied about where it was like Bill Clinton went on his plane 10 times.
26 times.
26 times.
26 times.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But it's interesting. I haven't actually seen what their response to all this has been.
Yeah.
I think they're keeping
they haven't said anything.
Yeah. Respectful silence or something.
Yeah. But they're the only ones who haven't said, like, come out and said, we need to get to the bottom of this, which is interesting, I think. I'm not saying it was them, but, but I'm saying it's interesting. Yeah.
What I find also interesting is the way that Trump immediately leapt onto the whole, it was Clinton.
It's interesting.
Like, it felt like there wasn't even an official response before he said, like, look into the Clintons, they did it. And it's like, that makes, I know, it just seems so suspicious to me that he immediately is like, the Clintons did it, the Clintons did it. It's like using the whole Pizzagate thing and, of course, using their connections with other dodgy things. And it's an immediate return to the typical Trump narrative pre-2016 election of the Clintons are bad, the Clintons are bad, the Clintons are bad.
Yeah.
Which obviously he had to employ because his opponent was a Clinton. But now it's just like...
But I think that's... The thing is, though, like, you say that's suspicious, but like you said, he was doing that before, like, in the 2016 election.
Yeah.
I think whether he was involved in this in any kind of way, he'd be doing that anyway. He'd be saying the Clintons did it either way. That's something that, like, politics at the moment is so divisive, but I think if there's one silver lining to take from this, it's that everyone wants to get to the bottom of this, no matter what. Like, if Clinton did horrible stuff with underage girls, then he should go to prison for the rest of his life. Same with Trump. Same with Prince Andrew. Like, these are... If they're all guilty, then they're horrible people and should be in prison forever. It's not complicated.
I mean, there was something else that was found that was very, very interesting. That was one of the bones that was broken in Epstein's neck.
Mm.
It was, and for those of you who are listening, you might not know this, but just above the Adam's apple, this bone here, that was broken in this instance. And research and studies have shown that only, I think it's in 6% of suicide cases, this particular bone had been broken, whereas it's most commonly found in homicide where someone's tried to strangle someone. And so it definitely points more towards someone strangling as opposed to suicide. Now, that's not to say it's not to say that is definitely the case, because it could still be within that 6%, but it just adds a little bit more weight to it, right?
That's really interesting. I hadn't heard that before, because that's only just come out, that news, like, from the autopsy that he broke. And
there's not a conclusion either.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, you'd expect that in most cases they'd say, open and shut case, he hung himself, done. But they're not saying that. They're not saying that. They're saying it's inconclusive.
For me, with this case, he could have just committed suicide and the whole process could have broken down entirely. But look at everything that would have had to have gone wrong for that to be allowed to happen. So, first of all, he was denied, like, the biggest bail ever posted.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. Then he tried to commit suicide and was put on suicide watch for 6 days, and then taken off suicide watch. And then his cellmate was also inexplicably transferred away.
Yeah.
And then the guards watching him were overworked and not paid.
Yeah.
It's just... And then his bones are broken in his neck, which only happens in 6% of cases. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The question is whether, like in the classic case, he wasn't necessarily killed for the sex trafficking, but because of some other connection he had. I think that's where the conspiracy theories are starting to broil from. On the right wing, you've got the whole Pizzagate, the Clintons are evil thing, that connection being drawn very explicitly by the President of the United States. On the other side, you've got, the rich and the famous are all going to be exposed, so they're covering it up, maybe with some mafia help or something. In the middle, you've got the intelligence services saying, we can't afford to let this man divulge anything. Yeah. So he's a goner. He's a criminal anyway. We can afford to lose him.
Mm. Yeah, that's definitely why it's so intriguing, isn't it? There's so many routes it could have come from.
Yeah.
And also, someone's dead. Everyone loves a murder mystery.
Yeah.
Murder/suicide mystery, if you want to go there.
Yeah.
For me, it's looking more like a murder mystery every day.
The other option is that he did manipulate, the system was manipulated, but not by an outside source, but by Epstein himself to, like, commit suicide. So when he was previously in jail, he apparently, got arranged special treatment with guards to, like, be allowed out and go to his office and that
kind
of stuff.
Yeah, he was out for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, apparently.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
So he's basically just living his life.
Yeah.
So if he did really want to kill himself, maybe he just, you know, bribed them to take the night off, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can't remember what he said it, but I was reading an article in the last few days where someone said, oh, if you want to find out what actually happened, just look at the guards from the prison and see which guard has recently quit and bought £1 million mansion. It's like, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's another thing, the video cameras. Were there video cameras?
Surely. So this is another thing that's up in the air, isn't it? It's like the prison... Well, people believe that there should be a record of his death. Not that there are necessarily cameras within the cell, but something that would show an angle that would, that would show him dead.
Mm. Well, again, it's interesting because under suicide watch, there is no cameras footage or surveillance, allowed of a prisoner because they're effectively naked and that's considered an invasion of privacy, understandably. Prisoners have rights still, I suppose. So the question is, since he was not on suicide watch... But he was still under constant surveillance by guards. Was he under surveillance by cameras as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, come on, give him some overalls and put a camera in there 24/7. It's not if your problem is that you're understaffed, then that sorts it. That's fine. You don't need to check on him every 15 minutes. Just have a camera in the corner.
But then, can they afford to have the cameras in the corner?
Why can't they?
I agree with you. But again, like one of the corollaries of this scandal, which probably will get ignored, is the fact that it demonstrates how underfunded and underserved the US prison system is.
Yeah. You think about it. If there's someone who's unpaid, we said earlier, potentially unpaid, and someone who's been on five days of overtime. 5 days of overtime, you're like, I know we've got shortages here, but this guy, let's just have someone else who's...
There must be someone else, you'd think. Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah. Mm.
Or if not, just get a camera in the corner.
Oh, yeah. It's
fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So overall, suicide or murder? I have to decide right now.
I don't...
verdict. Final judgment.
I think it could have been either, but I think the system totally broke down and the story doesn't add up either way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Robin?
With Alex, I think it could still be either, but I admit I'll find it harder to believe a suicide verdict than I would a murder verdict.
For me, 100%, he was taken out.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
like it'd be such a gross breakdown of the system, so bad that there's no way that they would have let that happen by accident.
I mean, what do you guys think? If you're watching this video, I feel like you'd. You'd take one side of the argument over the on this case, but let us know.
And also, who would have done it? Who would have plotted to do this? Who had the most to lose? Let us know.
Who benefits?
It's a mad story, though, isn't it?
It's mad.
What was your reaction when did you get the BBC News alert? I didn't get the
alert, but I was away. I was on holiday. In fact, I was camping in the middle of nowhere with very poor internet signal, and I happened to check the news that morning. For the first time in about 5 or 6 days.
Yeah.
And I saw that was the breaking news headline. And I think my reaction was something like, ugh. Like a big eye roll.
I thought I hadn't refreshed my phone because I thought it was still the article about Epstein being found unconscious. Because at first that was like found in, it was, I think the article was like found in a almost dead. And then it was found dead. I was like, so what?
Yeah.
Is this from a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
New story. And actually, he was dead.
Mad.
I think my reaction was shocked and appalled. And then, but also I was like, well, obviously this was going to happen.
There's a sense of resignation of like,
obviously.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So I'm sure this will develop much more in the next couple of weeks.
Well,
so
we'll try to keep you updated.
We'll keep updated and maybe post some either on the podcast or in the Patreon podcast afterwards.
Yes.
That'd be quite good for it.
Yeah,
or
actually,
on our social media too. But should we now move on to our quiz?
Yes.
Okay. So are we ready for a quiz?
Yes.
I'm ready.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Alex, show me your buzzer, so to speak.
This one never gets old, Martin. It's the Drunk Orson Welles.
champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Oh, very good.
I love it.
So good. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't get old. And Robin?
Mine's much shorter.
Do it. Nice. Do it. Is that, that?
Do it.
That's not a Nike advert, is it? Just,
yeah. Yeah.
Nike, sorry.
The
Nike.
Imperial days. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Okay. This is a standardized quiz after last week's antics. Okay. So you got two out of hand. So we're going back to basics.
Okay, fair enough.
Question number one.
Okay.
How many more people died in the Great Smog of London than in the Great Fire of London? Closest wins. How many more people died?
I imagine quite a few.
Two things here.
I imagine a lot.
How many do you think died in each, just out of interest? Think, well, yeah, yeah, let's have a bit of a discussion.
For some reason, I'm thinking that not a lot of people died in the Great Fire of London.
Okay.
Could be totally wrong.
I would say 100.
100, okay. The difference. The difference is 100.
Right. I think it's slightly more. I'm going to say 200.
Okay. So, in the Great Fire of London, 6 people died. Mm-hmm. The Great Smog of London, around 12,000 people died.
Oh, okay.
So, Alex, well done. 200 is closest. 11,994. Well done, well done.
Although, of course, with the Great Fire of London, they found 6 bodies.
Well, true. True, yeah, officially. Yeah. And the 12,000, of course, is a rough number, isn't it, as well?
So. That is
pretty
horrific.
Yeah. 12,000 people. Wow, smog ain't good. That's a takeaway from today. Question number two. The fossils of which animal found in New Zealand made headlines this week for its shocking size?
Oh, shocking size. I think I read something about this, but I can't remember what animal it was. Something was really, it was like, no, I don't know.
They found a really big fossil. Is that what
they
you're
found
gonna
a
say?
Really big fossil.
I'm just going to say what Martin said.
Just name an animal, I guess.
Yeah, but a fossil. So it's kind of an old animal.
An old animal.
It's an animal, isn't it?
I'm going to go for some. I'm going to go for some poultry and say a chicken.
No, it wasn't a giant. Oh. It wasn't a chicken.
I'm going to say...
That's when we're clear.
Yeah, shellfish thing. Ammonite? Is that?
No. No, I'll just give you... It was actually a penguin. Penguin the size of a human.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy, right? The evidence that a penguin the size of a human is not. Crazy.
How old was the fossil?
I don't know, mate.
Oh. There can be some quite tall penguins, though.
Yeah, not
emperor,
six.
Emperor
six
penguins.
Tall anyway.
Yeah.
But this was like a 6-foot
tall...
Big
old. Penguin penguins aren't 5 feet. No, surely not.
They're like 4 feet.
No. They can't be. Let's have a quick look.
How tall do they get?
1.1 to 1.3 meters. What's that?
1.3 meters is quite...
That's quite tall, actually, isn't it?
1.8 is 6 feet.
Oh, okay.
Minus 30 to 5 feet.
What's it?
5.
So, yeah, 4 foot, roughly. Feet, yeah. The tallest. Oh, yeah, very good. I didn't know that at all. Okay, question number three. Why was there outcry at the setting up of a preschool in Serbia this week?
Oh dear, I don't know.
I'll give you a quick. I'll give you a quick clue before you have a guess.
Yeah.
It was something before it was a preschool. The building that they're making it.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Was it a prison? Oh, turning into a school.
It wasn't a prison.
Oh.
Was it an erotic dance club and they left like the pole in?
No. I can imagine that would have caused quite a lot of outrage. Do you want another guess? Or
clue, maybe?
Clue? Any more clues?
Okay. It was something during the Second World War.
Oh. Concentration camp?
Close enough. It was a hospital at a
How
Nazi concentration camp.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
All
oh,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
In Belgrade.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Right. Fair enough.
So, yeah, they're a little bit upset about it.
I can imagine.
What are they upset by?
I think because they were going to turn it into a memorial. And instead, someone's bought it not knowing what it was and just okay, let's change this into a preschool.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So, because it wasn't being used for anything, turning it into a school is a, functional thing that helps society in the future generations. If it was going to be a memorial, then that's fair enough.
I believe so. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay, so it is still 1-0. Question number four.
Wait. No, 1-1-0? Robin,
you definitely got a point. If I got that one, yeah, one all.
Oh, you got one, yeah. Sorry, I didn't even count.
If you want to give it to me.
Count that point. I'm so sorry. One all.
Yeah.
Question number four. In centimeters, what's the average circumference of an adult male's head? Slightly different. Circumference. I've got quite a small head. Don't look at my head.
Adult male.
Add on 20%.
In centimeters.
In centimeters. That's what we're going for. I mean, I can convert it if you like.
33.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh no, I think it's more than that. I'm going to say. I'm going to say 35 centimeters. Oh, cool.
is that your final answer? 35 centimeters for an adult's head. It's a ruler. If you wrap a ruler around, it'd
be like. Okay, that would be quite small.
Well, Robin's gone for 33. It's closest wins.
58.4 centimeters. Okay. Well done. Very tactically played. Okay.
I just needed to be sure. Okay. Question. I'm not going to get any other points otherwise. I think you might.
It's 2-1 though. Well done. Yeah.
Question five. What is currently the most subscribed channel on YouTube?
Oh.
We should know this.
We should know this. It's not PewDiePie anymore, is it? Champagne has always
been celebrated. Isn't it?
Oh, go for it.
I was going to say PewDiePie.
No.
Oh, isn't it? Oh.
He's second.
Not
sure. People out there screaming, going,
this is pretty embarrassing. Isn't it?
It's that Indian thing, isn't it? I can't remember.
That Indian thing. Yes.
Indian channel.
It is.
But I can't remember the name of it. Ah, it's like it sounds like a TV channel name. I cannot remember the name of it. Sorry.
No. T-Series.
That's it.
It's called a Hindi music channel.
That's it.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
Hindi, I suppose. Absolutely.
There was that race, wasn't there? I think maybe it's over now that they've pulled ahead, but there was a race between fans of PewDiePie. Trying to get back on terms when he was overtaken. Okay, question number six. What is the largest type of big cat in the world?
The largest type of big cat. Champagne has always been celebrated
for its sex. Is it a liger? Liger.
It is a liger.
No way. Yeah,
it's a liger. They can be as long as 12 feet
in
length.
Wow, is that including the tail?
Yeah, why not?
It's one of those animals that blew my mind. It was like I thought it was like a made-up creature, like a unicorn or that kind of thing. And then he found out.
Real.
Oh, wow. It's,
they can actually breed them. Yeah. I think is it a male tiger and a female lioness or the other way around? I can't remember which.
One of the two.
And and they can be, almost double the size of either a standard lion or tiger independently.
Wow.
Yeah. Mad.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well done, Alex. I mean, what's that now?
3-1? Now.
3-1.
Well done. Okay. Question number seven.
Sailing ahead.
What percentage of people in the world are left-handed? It's just been left-handed day.
Oh, man.
What percentage?
Okay.
Is it closest wins? I'm left-handed, yeah.
I'm left-handed too. 66% of this podcast is left-handed. I assume you're right-handed, Robin.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
I'm going to say, I think it's less than half. I will say 33%.
Okay.
I was going to say 33% as well. Really? So I'm going to have to go with Darn.
You're going to go higher or lower?
Oh, no. It always works for you, but it's not going to work for me. I'm going to say 32%.
32. It's 11%.
What? Wow. 11%.
Yeah, not that many people.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, that's smaller than I thought, actually. It sounded like it was going to be one of those trick questions where you're like, actually, it's a huge number of people.
Yeah, that's the thing.
In certain cultures, it's a lot less than others due to cultural norms as well. Like some people are not allowed to be. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. 11%. So 3-2. Okay, question number eight. What was the highest selling video game of 2018?
2018? What happened in 2018? What was that?
Are we counting?
Champagne everything. Has always been
celebrated. I can't actually remember if this was this year. It probably was, wasn't it? Is it Red Dead Redemption?
It is almost. Yeah. Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, highest selling video game.
There we go.
Well done. Closely followed by Black Ops 4, I believe.
Huh.
Yeah, close.
They don't even have to try with those games, do they? With COD.
Have you both played Red Dead?
Yeah.
Too. I haven't, actually.
You haven't? Play the first one.
Yeah. And I want to play 2, but...
Do you
want
to
borrow
it? I'm lending it to a friend at the moment.
I can lend it to you. Yeah, I've got it.
You finished it?
I finished it, yeah.
Well, if you're offering. Yeah.
There you go.
Decent. Done.
It's a verbal contract. It's on witnesses.
On camera, yeah. I should hold you to this.
Question nine. What is the current time on the doomsday clock?
Oh.
Oh, it's...
Is it 4 minutes to?
No.
Oh. The French.
Is it 1 minute two?
No.
Oh.
Do you want to carry on? One more guess each?
Is it not Wait. Closest wins? Or do we have to get it straight away?
No, let's see if you can get it. You can have another
3 minutes two.
No.
Darn it.
Champagne is up.
5 minutes two.
No.
Really?
Oh. Are we in the right ballpark?
You said two. I said three.
No.
I said four.
No, no one has said it.
1 minute two.
No one has said it.
2 minutes two.
2 minutes two.
Oh, what?
Two minutes two. You said, I said 1 minute.
1 minute. 1 minute, 3 minutes. 4 minutes, 5 minutes.
I lost track. I lost track.
2 minutes two.
That's annoying. I don't think I should get that, though, because I did have a third guess before Robin and had his third guess. So.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. We'll leave it at whatever it was. 3-2 or whatever it is. Question number 10. What was the most visited city by tourists in 2018?
In 2018? Visited city.
That's an interesting one.
I'm just going to take inspiration from Orson Welles and say Paris. French.
I know this is wrong, but I'm going to say Venice.
No.
No.
Okay, it's not in Europe.
Oh.
Okay.
Beijing?
No.
Was there, there was Olympics, wasn't there? Is it where the Olympics were? Was it?
Not this year.
In 2018?
Not last year. Winter Olympics, maybe.
Olympics is next year.
Yeah.
2016 was in Rio.
2016, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when.
And it's not Rio.
I'm messing up my maths.
Where do tourists go?
Yeah,
help us. Out. Yeah. Where does everybody want to go to? It's not in Europe. And it's.
Is that LA?
LA on holiday. Are you mad?
I don't know. It's not in Europe.
There's loads of people in LA going, LA's fine. What are we talking about? No, it's not Beijing, but it does begin with B.
Bristol.
Bristol. And it's not in Europe.
Famous city beginning with B that isn't. Bristol or Beijing. That's not in Europe. Never mind.
What's the continent? Give us a continent.
Asia.
That's not helping me.
Yeah, really don't know.
Where's
don't
know. Beirut?
It's not number one tourist destination in the world. No.
Is this really obvious?
Yeah, it's Bangkok.
Really?
Wow.
The most visited place.
Yeah, over 20 million people went.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that people actually going to Bangkok, or is it people going via Bangkok to other places?
I think it's as a destination.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is it because of the name?
That surprised me as well.
Is it because of the name? That's why 20 million people went there.
There's a lot of people go like backpacking in Thailand, right?
Yeah.
That's true. That's huge. Oh,
that's a massive amount of people.
Imagine if they all went at once. Crazy weekend.
Yeah.
Everybody there.
I mean, from the UK and the US and Europe, I'm sure that quite a few people go there.
Mm.
But maybe around the area as well.
Kind of yeah.
Around the region, people head there.
There's quite a few smallish countries around there, aren't there? So they're all...
Maybe they all...
Place to be. Place to go.
There you go.
Okay, well done, Alex. You have won this week's
very
quiz.
Very decisively. Well done, sir.
But we've still got a bonus question,
ooh,
which is always a bit of fun.
Yeah.
A bit of fun, because that's what we like here at Uncovered. Okay, bonus question.
Yep.
How many people in the world use the internet?
Oh,
closest wins.
Mm.
How many people in the world use the internet?
Yes.
1.2 billion.
Oh, no, it's got to be. It's more than that, surely. Over half the world are on Facebook, right? Okay. I'm gonna say 6 billion.
6 billion. It's not as many as 6 billion. It's 4,422,494,622 as of June 2019.
Wow. I'm genuinely impressed.
Yeah.
That's really good internet access.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And certain, I remember reading that certain regions have gone up massively. So between 2000 and 2019, I think Europe had gone up by almost 600%. Whereas in Africa, it had gone up over 11,000% internet usage because of the infrastructure expanding.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Nice.
But there are still villages without water. You can check your Facebook there.
Yeah.
And with that, That is depressing. But thank you, Robin.
There you are.
Yeah,
Alex, that was a good quiz. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
That was
good
a tough
job,
one.
It was a nice win after last week with Sam getting all the questions right.
That was mad. If anyone hasn't seen that,
smart pants.
He did get all the questions right, although there were 50-50 chance of getting it right. So, you know, don't give him all the credit. Anyway, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching/listening at home. We'll see you next time and enjoy your week.
Yeah. See you next time.
Bye-bye.